So the term loan shark has a long history. It's been used for over 100 years, beginning in the late 19th century and continuing into the present. So here we see a 2008 cartoon depicting payday lenders as actual sharks. And in the 19th century, as it now, this term was used derisively. It was used to describe high-rate lenders who often would lend small sums of money at a high cost, sometimes in violation of legal rules, but sometimes perfectly legally. And the loan shark label cast these lenders as predators and the borrowers as their prey. So then, as now, policymakers and ordinary Americans were especially concerned about the high cost of small dollar loans, and they were especially likely to call small dollar lenders loan sharks, like in this cartoon from 1928. And the reason is that the smallest loans to the most fragile borrowers often were the ones that came with the biggest price tags. Those who were on the lowest rungs of the economic ladder seemed to have to pay the highest cost for credit. And that also has been true for over a century. So this problem came to national attention beginning in the 1890s, which was the moment that the salary loan business began to grow. So here we see some advertisements from companies that offered these types of loans. And the loan was an advance of cash against the security of the borrower's future wages or salary. But this problem has not gone away. So the problem of how to regulate small sum credit very much remains with us today, as both state regulators and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau puzzle over how best to govern small dollar high cost loans, including payday loans like those advertised here. Critics of this industry still regularly label these lenders as loan sharks, indicating that they're predators who are causing poor families to sink deeper into debt. And for over a century, small sum credit has exemplified both the perils of American capitalism for low-income households, but also the promise of our economic system. So on the one hand, small dollar loans have promised low-wage workers a measure of independence from state support or private charity when they fall into financial difficulties, and have also granted them access to the growing consumer economy. Credit allows low-wage workers to manage financial shortfalls or to make big-ticket purchases. So as this advertisement from the 1930s indicates, Household Finance, a small sum lender, warns us that you can't shut down a family. So in the Great Depression, businesses could go out of business, they could close their doors, but that just wasn't an option for everyday people. Families had to keep going, and sometimes they needed cash to do it. So small sum loans could help families weather financial storms, and they carried this promise of independence and financial autonomy. But on the other hand, the need of these families to borrow has also symbolized the failure of the economic system to lift up all households. It makes apparent that the rising tide of American prosperity has left some boats grounded on the shore. The high demand for these loans has indicated that there are a lot of people who just are not getting by. So, like the author of this article from 1936, critics of the business have labeled it a racket in human misery. And which of these two views of the business, as either a helping hand or as a predator, which view has predominated has changed over time and has depended a lot on how the industry has encountered reformers and regulators. Have they interacted as partners in trying to formulate regulation together, or have they encountered one another as adversaries, either in formulating rules or in litigation? But attitudes about the business have also depended not only on who is the face of the industry, but also on public awareness of the peculiar economics of lending very small sums of money, as well as on levels of public concern about poverty, the availability of other sources of credit, as well as prevailing ideas about what the appropriate relationship is more generally between the state and the marketplace. So the business of small sum lending first began to draw widespread attention at the turn of the 20th century. And at this point, urban working class households were seeking out quick cash from lenders that were often located near industrial workplaces, near the workers who were most likely to need their services. And reformers, like the New York Legal Aid Society, described the problems that arose as the loan shark evil, like this article from 1911. And at this time, the business of small sum lending was essentially outlawed almost everywhere. Most states had very strict usury laws that limited the maximum rate of charge to 6 or 7% per year, which was just not feasible for lending small sums of money on a short-term basis. Small sum lenders could not operate profitably at those rates. And then, as now, the law of loan sharks was state law. The business was regulated at the state level, and so each state could devise its own lending rules. And the result was a patchwork of state laws. So this patchwork remains in place today. This map shows the maximum APR allowed on a $500 six-month installment loan across the country, and you can see there's wide variation from state to state.